The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of the region of Iturea, and Trachonitis and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priest of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then shall we do? And he answered them, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise. Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than you are authorized to do. Soldiers also asked him, and what shall we do? And he said, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusations, and be content with your wages. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. This is a time of year for preparation. You have made so many preparations, I'm sure, for the coming holiday festivals with Christmas and New Year's coming about. You have made so many different plans, lists. You've checked them twice. Maybe you've tried to figure out what you're going to do for meals, for guests, for company, gifts, wrapping. All of the things are being planned out. All of the decorations are being brought out. I was on my roof this past Thursday, right before the rainstorm, because I had the insane idea that it would be great to put up a lit Christmas wreath. I didn't get too wet. But nonetheless, we make all sorts of plans at this time of year. Preparing. Are we prepared for the joyous Christmas day, the joyous Christmas season? Today, our readings are all about preparation. Preparation pointing to the first coming of Jesus and also the final coming of Jesus, where he will come to judge the living and the dead. You may have seen signs or billboards. You may have seen people carrying posters out on the street saying, get ready, be prepared, the Lord is returning. But the question I have before you today is how do you prepare? How do you make yourself ready for the coming of Jesus? Do you even really even comprehend that? Do you even really believe that he is going to return to judge the living and the dead, as we hear so often? Do you believe that he will come with the sound of a trumpet and with the shout of an archangel, and that the dead in Christ will be raised first, and that he will judge the living and the dead? That he will separate those who are in belief and unbelief as sheep from goats? That he will welcome his faithful ones and say, welcome, receive the inheritance prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Well done, good and faithful servant. And that he will look at those who rejected him and his grace and his love and say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Do you really believe this? Do you really comprehend this in this modern 21st century that we have, with all of the technology and all the information and all of the entertainment and everything we could be so consumed with in this day and age. I pray that you do. I pray that you hold fast and hold firm to this faith given to you in your baptism, because he is returning. He will come to judge the living and the dead, and that includes you, and it includes me. He will come to take us out of this world of senseless and chaotic violence. He will come to take us out of this place where there is discord and strife, where there is sorrow, where there is pain and misery and suffering. But how does he make us prepared? How do you prepare yourself? You may say, well, I probably ought to dig out my Bible and read it a little bit more. Maybe I ought to come to a Bible class here at the church. Maybe I should pray a little bit more. Maybe I should come to the service a little more often. Maybe I should be a little more devout in my Christian ways and my Christian living. Maybe I should give more to the community through the church. Maybe I should somehow do a little bit more things that most Christians tend to do. But does that truly prepare you? Does simply reading and devotions and praying, is that all that God gives to us to prepare us? Well, yes, in some ways, that is certainly a good and proper way. But God goes even deeper. God goes even wider in how he prepares you. For see, that is really what is going on here today and every day. It's not about God looking at you and saying, what are you going to do to get ready for my return? Because left to ourselves, let's face it, we don't want to prepare ourselves. We don't want to make ourselves ready for our Lord's return. We have so many other things that we would rather be consumed with and involved with. Certainly things that are more entertaining, more uplifting. Certainly things that bring us much more joy than hearing about, once again, Jesus and his return. And so our Lord must stir us up. He must make us ready. He must prepare us. We read just a few moments ago in our collect for the day, stir up, O Lord, our hearts. The collect of the day is really a prayer that is based on all of our readings for the day. They set the theme for what this Sunday and each Sunday is all about. It collects our prayers into the one prayer that we are unified around Scripture in today. And when you hear that word, those words today, stir up our hearts, O Lord, and make ready the way of your Son. What do you suppose this means for him to stir us up? It's almost as if we are asking God to make us uncomfortable, to stir us up, sort of like a thick pot of soup that's burned. You stir it up to make sure it doesn't get all goopy. You stir it up to get all that thick stuff that has dropped to the bottom all around inside the pot. You stir it up to make sure that it doesn't fall flat. And that's really what we are asking God to do for us. Stir our hearts up. Make us uncomfortable. Lead us to repentance. Remind us that in the midst of all of this world full of self-satisfaction, self-centeredness, that we are heading to the path of destruction without you. Stir us up, O Lord, and remind us, as you did through the prophet Malachi and all of the other prophets, that without repentance, without a changing of our ways, without the confessing of our sins, we are surely dead in our sins, condemned. Stir us up, O Lord. Make us feel uncomfortable. Make us feel a little bit uneasy to prepare and to make us ever watchful and ready for your return. But I like all the happy Christmas stuff. you're saying. Come on, everybody else is putting up Christmas trees. And I know what you're probably even thinking. You're probably looking at this bulletin cover today and saying, how about something Christmassy? Rather than some long-haired guy looking violently at us saying something that we don't know. I get it. I even think the office volunteers this week were probably thinking, we don't want this on the bulletin cover, but I said, I want it to remind us of how our Lord has prepared us. He sent the prophets before us, before Israel, to stir them up in the midst of their sins, to stir them up to bring them to repentance. He sent John the Baptist to cry out for repentance, to cry out, prepare the way of the Lord and make his paths straight, to call out the Pharisees and the Sadducees as children of Satan, brood of vipers, to warn everyone of the wrath that is to come, to bear fruits of repentance, and to not simply look at ourselves and say, well, we are children of Abraham, or we are Lutherans, or we are just simply somehow showing up here today, but to be changed by God in the giving of His Holy Spirit, that draws us out of our self-centeredness and out of this world of chaos and destruction, and that changes our hearts and minds toward Him and all of the wonderful things that He has done for you. For He has called you out of your darkness and into His marvelous light. He has stirred up our hearts to repentance. He has made His path straight. He has filled every valley full of your sin and my sin with His blood. He has made every mountain and hill, every mountain that we have made out of molehills, everything that we have done in anger, in angst, in disbelief, every hurtful word that we have said against each other, everything that we have built up around us, in our sins, He has made low. And He has made the paths that we have followed on, where we have gone this way and that way, where we have only looked at ourselves for direction. He has made it all straight. He has made our rough places, our places full of death and sin and shame, He has made them all level and smooth for us. And He prepares us for His return, where all flesh shall see the salvation of God. You and me, those who are in Him already, who have gone through death and now into life, all mankind will see the salvation of our God. And that is why we are here. That is why we exist as a church. It is why we are prepared through Christ. Not by something that we do, but something that He does for us, stirring us up, bringing us to repentance, confessing our sins, and then speaking to you and to me the words of eternal life. I forgive you, dear child, of your sins. My blood has cleansed you and has washed you and has made you whiter than snow. You are now fully prepared by my cross, by my resurrection, by my ascension into heaven, and by my coming again to bring you home. Out of a world full of death and violence and chaos, and into everlasting life. Our Lord doesn't always use happy and cheery ways to prepare us. Certainly He didn't use somebody like John in that way, nor the prophets. He uses His law, the sting of the law, to stir us up, to bring our hearts back to the reality that they are cold and stony hearts apart from Christ. But more importantly, to point us to the realities of all that Christ has done for us, not just at Christmas, but what he would do ultimately, what John would ultimately point to and say about Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Your Lamb, my Lamb, he has prepared you. He has prepared me. And so now I invite you to now look at your bulletin and to pray with me once again our collect of the day. We pray, stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You are prepared, you will always be prepared to welcome Christ, our Lord and our King. To Christ alone be all the glory, now and forever. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.